If you're a multi-inspector firm or want to become one, this one's for you. We got Chuck Ryan from Real Inspection Services. You've been in the business a long time. Is an enterprise company, which we define as over 10 inspectors, has other divisions of his company, other revenue streams. So it's just a great conversation around life as a multi-inspector company and how he's still going at it. He talks a little about how he's adjusted to multiple market cycles like this one, and this one might be the worst he's seen. And what he's doing. So for multis, this will be a great one for you. Make sure to listen to the whole thing. And if you're an aspiring multi, he tells a little bit about his story of coming up. And I think it's very inspirational. And he just has a great way about him. The way he talks about the business, you can tell he loves it, still loves it after being in it for a minute. So hope you enjoy the conversation with Chuck Ryan. Chuck, thank you for being patient with me with the reschedule and hanging in there.
No problem.
I was down bad, pretty sick, but I'm good now and pumped to do this. So thank you for hanging in there.
Absolutely.
So let's just go off the bat and let people know who you are, where you're located, kind of the give them an idea of the size and scale of the business, and that'll help frame up kind of where we go with the conversation.
Sure. So I'm Chuck Ryan. I'm one of the principal owners of Real Inspection Services. I've actually been in the industry for 28 years. I went into it full time, and I've appreciated everything that I've learned along the way, the ups and downs. I think I've been through a couple of market crashes. Mm. Obviously, this one of 2023 was the worst. So, and I'll kind of talk about my opinion on that. But so I started out as a sole proprietor. I did have a couple of guys that I brought on that have worked with me earlier on. I realized that there was a need to have extra inspectors as my business started to grow. I was trying to avoid the double booking, which I admit I'd done that a couple of times. Sure. And promised myself I wasn't going to do that again. So after that started growing, what I did was there was a high school friend of mine who owns an appraisal company. And we always were talking about how we wanted to merge our two companies together because we realized that somehow along the way, the appraisal and the inspection industry would somehow come together with how things and would move from a transaction side. And having his connections too as well with lenders and, you know, people on that side of it, we thought that that would be a good thing. And that's what we did. So my original company's name was Precision Property Inspections. Mm-hmm. And when we merged, we became Real Inspection Services. So we kept the services there because we wanted to not just say that we were home inspectors, but we can utilize all different aspects of a home to kind of be that consultant for life. So then we brought in sewer scoping. We brought in environmental side, doing radon, as well as doing air quality as well with that. And believe it or not, we've been getting a lot of requests to do water testing too, and we've actually brought that in-house as well. So we have all those ancillary services in-house, and yeah, I'm just excited by how fast we've grown because just starting out with myself having three guys, we now have about 10 full-time inspectors. We do have one part-time inspector, and then we do have a separate sewer division. So we have three people that specifically just do sewer scoping. And then right now we're looking into doing the rotting as well. So we see that there is a need for that also. So, and then we do have an environmental side. So all in all, there's probably about 20 of us total. And we do have a back office. Jane Doyle, she's my operations manager. She smiles through the phone. So she takes all our incoming calls, sets up our schedule. So she is the gatekeeper for all the inspectors and even from the environmental side. So, and I have three other partners and they've just been fantastic. So, and like I said, our back office, Eva, she does all our payroll and stuff, but she kind of helps out with marketing as well. Mm-hmm. And, forgetting something, and Andy, she's does all our sales. So
impressive.
It's
what we consider an enterprise company in our space. You know, multiple services, multiple revenue streams, 10 plus inspectors, sounds like close to 20 in terms of employees. It's very fascinating to me, the appraisal and home inspection kind of merging, because I have not heard that before, and that's pretty unique. So can you tell me a little more around kind of the thought process there, and then how it functionally works? Because for one, I find it funny that most home buyers still don't know the difference between an inspection and appraisal. I'm sure you get that. Sure. But are buyers that you work with on the inspection side allowed to use the appraisal side of your business, or because the banks usually dictate that? Like,
correct.
Let's riff on that for a minute.
Sure. So what we've done in going into realtor presentation, there's the value added service side, which my partner Tom does. He does a presentation on that. And then where we've piggybacked both of these together on the home inspection side is they can do the value and the home inspection. We can put a package together for pre-listing inspections. So, and realtors have seemed to kind of see the value in that. And there's some that are still out there that are like, well, you know, if we discover something on the pre-listing side, mm-hmm. now we have to disclose it.
Sure.
But my argument is, wouldn't you rather know now than have that short window of a 5-day or 10-day attorney approval period to know, you know, you can get these things fixed prior to listing it? And yeah, I mean, if it's a significant problem, which, you know, sometimes we do come across those, it's not that really big of a deal to get those things fixed. There, you're narrowing the scope of having the inspection. The inspector comes out, he finds that there's a problem. Then, you know, they have to get that specialist to come in there to take care of it if it's agreed. So there's time that's involved with that. So what we found was Tom doing the value added service side from the appraisal and then putting a package system together for the home inspection side. We're starting to see it starting to work. And so that's kind of, you know, what we had talked about. And, you know, everything is fast. They want to get things done and they want to get things moving along. So we did see that there could be a value to that. And, you know, in the reality of it, who knows? I mean, maybe the pre-listing inspections are going to be the thing of the future, right? Where people are going to start to see that, hey, this makes sense. You know, I have a good house, but there might be some things here that I'm not aware of. So let's bring this company in. Let's get them to look at it and give us an idea. And now that we know this, maybe we can then price the home to sell that way, saying, hey, we know that we have these conditions that exist. We took care of the major ones. There are probably going to be some other things that the other home inspector are going to find, but it's being sold as is. Here's what we did to fix those things. You know, knock your socks off. Please bring someone else in to look at it. But, you know, it makes sense. There's nothing to hide, and everyone's open. And I personally would rather deal with someone that is open about what they have. And, you know, it shows that they've took pride and care in their home. And I think there's some type of a peace of mind or a comfort level for that prospective buyer when they come in there to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, these people did care about their home. And we're willing to accept certain things with it because of the age, but they took care of the electrical issues. They took care of, you know, there was a foundation crack and they had someone come out and fix that. You know, I think people can appreciate that.
I'm a big fan of that framing, because I know historically in this industry, we've made lots of attempts and failed at popularizing pre-listing and making it the norm. But I think you have a great point there of it narrows kind of the price window at which it could ultimately sell at by getting expectations closer between the buyer and the seller. And it is transparent and it just feels like better business to say, we've taken care of those things. The price is closer to where it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think this market that is settling into some normalcy, hopefully in terms of supply, will aid in more pre-listing inspections happening? Because remember the market we came from, right? Zero interest rates. Sellers didn't have to do anything. So let alone, you know, of course they're not going to get a pre-listing inspection. Do you think that might change with the new environment?
It possibly, yes, I'm optimistic that it can. I've always been optimistic about, you know, our area of business. And I mean, I think it can change. It's getting the people the right information for them to make that decision, and just showing them that this possibly is going to be the better way of doing things, right? And like you had mentioned, the way that the interest rates are now, there's not a lot of inventory out there. So I think the sellers still can dictate the market a little bit more, but maybe it's just one of those things where they are, like you said, transparency. I think in order things to flow through, I mean, I always like dealing with people that are transparent, and you could kind of call out the ones that are bullshitters, right?
Right.
And who wants to deal with people like that? So, but yeah, I do think that it will take some time, but you know, as the market starts to get a little bit better, and we can start to see that the rates, wherever they're going to hold off at 5.5-6%, you know, maybe that could be something, you know, that can entice people, and then people are going to feel a bit more comfortable about putting their home on the market, and then knowing that there's inventory out there to find that home. And I think right now, you know, people are afraid to sell their home because they may not have another place to go to. So
exactly.
Unless they're downsized. So, but yeah, I do think that that's something that can eventually change. And just like anything, it just starts with providing the people with the right information and showing them, hey, this might be a better way to get this deal done. So.
Yeah. And it sounds like you market it and present it in a package a little better. Do you have a sense for about what percent of your overall jobs are pre-listing, and is it growing? Are you seeing like a seeing it trend higher?
Not trending higher. We're just starting to see more people asking and calling about the pre-listing inspections, especially when we start to do the realtor presentations. We have getting some feedback, and it's funny because sometimes we'll have a realtor stand up saying, "Nope, not doing it, not doing it." So, and I get that, but again, if I could make that come across, even, you know, it's like you can lead a horse to water type of thing, but you can't make them drink. You just won't change people, you know. And my grandfather had a saying is sometimes people's heads are like coconuts. If you can't crack it, move on down to the next word person, or, you know, the talk that might understand something. So
I like that.
But yeah, so it will be a little bit of a challenge, but we have gotten some people that do call about it. And there are realtors that we work with in Chicago and in this local metropolitan area that have warmed up to it, and they just call us and they schedule it, you know, so, which is cool.
That's encouraging. To me, that's the takeaway for listeners that are bearish on the concept that there are agents out there that are open to it, and you just have to be there with the service and have it presented nicely to show them that you're not just doing this when someone asks. It is an offering and it's available. So I think, like you said, when rates go down and more supply comes on and sellers have a little more motivation to be buttoned up, I believe we'll see an uptick there.
I do.
What was it like bringing SewerScope and some of these other services in-house? Because that's part of every multi-inspector's journey, I believe. And some are in the dark as to how it really is to bring stuff in-house. And so I don't know if you can speak to kind of the mindset around it and anything that was good or bad about it.
So the good part was, is I was exposed to it earlier on. I just never brought it in house. And being exposed to it, there was a company that that I was able to utilize when I was doing inspections and worked with them. And the gentleman of the company, Bill, he was very helpful in showing me, here are things that need to be done. This is not that bad. Yeah, there's an offset in the sewer line, but it's not a problem because this is why it's not a problem. Or there is an offset in the sewer line. This is a problem, and this is why it's going to become a problem. If there's a hairline crack in the clay piping, it's not that big of a deal. But if the crack is here, here's where it can pose a problem. So I did learn a lot from him. I did some training as well. So bringing it in-house for the first, not just me, there's my main guy, Brian Esterline. He's awesome. He and Sean, my other partner, they kind of had started running with this. And yeah, I mean, it took, there were some trial periods with it. I mean, there was some oh shit moments that we had, but the most part is, you know, we just had patience going through it. And, you know, we started out with one sewer camera just to show you how fast this has grown back in October of 2023. We now have three.
Wow. So wow.
We brought on two guys, and then there's a fourth guy that we're going to be bringing on who is familiar with rotting. I don't know if anyone's done that. I've tried it, and it really knocks the crap out of your body. I mean, you really have to be in shape with that, and it does take a toll after a while, but he's familiar with the process of it. We do get people calling us about rotting. We're just not right there yet, but yeah, so it's been fast. It's been fast. I will say that the one downside, you know, was, you know, I developed a friendship with the guy that, you know, that was doing our sewer scopes, and sure, it was a business decision, you know, and unfortunately he didn't see it that way. So, so that sucked.
Sure.
And that took a toll on us, and, you know, it took a toll on our friendship too, but I gave him the opportunity, and it just, for some reason, we just kind of agreed to disagree and just went our own separate ways.
Sure. That's good to know. And I think that's par for the course of folks get used to great leads and great relationships, but companies grow and bring things in house. It's the, you know, it happens in every industry. What's like the capital investment like for a scope? And then you have to obviously hire the technician, right? So we're talking an outlay of cash maybe before you're actually selling the service.
Yeah. So that's a great question. And it's funny because we bought our first equipment. We bought it brand new. And I think, you know, was it the reel for the sewer scope? It's 200 feet. And then everything else that came with it, I think we were out of pocket close to 20 grand after everything was said and done. Ooh. But what we've started to do is we started realizing that that Facebook marketplace works pretty good. Yeah. I was amazed at, there's guys out there that just go out and they buy, they go to auctions. And what they'll do is they'll go to construction auctions and just buy all this different equipment. And we've met two of the guys through Facebook that have done that. And we met the one guy when we bought our second camera. I was in a parking lot, you know, so it was like one of those things that had gone down, but we were able to utilize, narrow the margin of cost, right? Because it was used equipment. We checked it out, and it's been working great ever since. So, and then we bought our third set. We did it the same way. So I would recommend, and you got to know a little bit about the equipment. So we use a brand called Sea Snake. They're one of the best ones, I think, out there of all the equipment that I've seen on the market. It's a durable piece of equipment. The camera is really durable. We've not had problems with anything thus far, you know, with the cameras or even with the fiber optic eye. So everything's been good, but they need to go out there and check that if they want to buy used equipment. And they got to know what they're looking at, you know, so they got to be able to turn the equipment on, check the camera. We roll out the reel. We'll roll it out to 200 feet to make sure there's no kinks in the camera into the cable. We check the monitor. So we make sure before we purchase it. And just like anything, it's used equipment. So there is going to be some risk with that. But we were able to find someone that repairs the cameras. And so that was the other cool thing about that. And they're local. So they're familiar with the brand, and they know how to repair it if we have a problem with it. So,
hey, for 5 or 10 grand, or, you know, whatever the disc, whatever the markdown was, definitely worth it.
It was significant, and it was worth it.
So it sounds like the rollout has gone great with that. So if you're talking just October, what has been the motion in terms of letting customers and agents know, upselling it? I'm guessing you've gotten a good take rate on the service, right? Since you are up to three.
Right. And that's the key thing. It's having the ancillary service in-house. So when we show up on an inspection, we have everyone showing up. So we got the inspectors, we got the sewer scope team, we have the people that do the radon, the air quality testing, boom, everyone's there right at that same given time. Before, when I was the sole proprietor or three guys, you're hoping you can get on that sewer camera schedule, right? So they could come out that day. And of course, realtors want everything done that day, which I understand.
Sure.
It's kind of a drag to go back there the next day or show up prior to the inspection, you know, to have someone else come in to the property. Everyone wants, you know, to live their lives, and let's get it knocked out in one fell swoop. So, that's where that has benefited us, is by bringing all this in house. So
I love that you said that, because I used to be an agent. I don't know if you knew that, but I remember houses clear across town that had to have 2 to 3 different professionals show up at the house. And, you know, I know there's not always a ton of empathy for agents, but it was kind of a nightmare of scheduling. And it made me say, I got to find a company that does it all in house, because to your point, it just feels seamless. And the client, to the client, it looks great. It's just like, oh, they do it all. So
it is. Yeah, it does. The other thing that we started looking into, because we've started seeing a need for it, and there are inspectors, some of my competitors in the local market do it, is they do the scoping of the chimneys too as well. So that's a different thing. You know, the equipment is totally different. So, but that's something that we're going to be bringing on here shortly. So we've kind of started migrating that way towards that as well. So.
Sure. So have you had some success in terms of whether it's your sales team or the automated emails that let people know about all these services?
Yes. And I'm glad you brought that point up, because we utilize a system called HubSpot, and it's worked really well for us. The one thing that we have found is especially doing the sewer scopes, is if we did an inspection 2 years ago, we've been sending out the, you know, reminders of the, of saying, hey, it's been 2 years. You know, we call it the colonoscopy for your home, right? You want to make sure that everything is flowing from the house to the municipal sewer. So even if it was clean at that point in time, things can happen. There could be a kid that inadvertently flushes down a toy down the toilet. They may not know that it's causing a damming issue, but, you know, so we just kind of, again, educate people. It's been 2 years. Sometimes we'll run a campaign where we'll give a discount for it. That's helped a lot. So we've just started doing that, and then that's paying off. So, and that's where, you know, for me and for any other inspector out there, and even just for the inspectors as well, it's the gift that keeps on giving, because you have that ancillary service there. It's something people are always going to need to maintain, is their sewer line, right? It's something people are going to have to do to have their home checked every 2 years for radon. You know, especially if someone wants an air quality test, they may have started to experience, you know, some adverse reaction in their home, and it could be an allergy related issue. So, I think having those ancillary services are something that's always going to generate income for a company. You know, home inspections are home inspections. I mean, people can, you know, do a 2 year inspection on their home. It's a little bit harder to sell that than saying, hey, you know, you don't want to have that party over when you have 10 or 20 people over and then you got a toilet that's backing up, right? So, you know, it's just always good to kind of keep that part of the house functioning.
That's such a great point, because the fear of a shower not working or low water pressure or a toilet backing up, that's so real to everyone here that's listening, that's owned a home or lived anywhere. And that, yeah, I agree with you. That sell yearly or every 2 years feels almost like recurring revenue that every company might be leaving on the table if they're not aggressively letting their buyers know about that. Because yeah, as a homeowner, I get asked to, or like if I were to be sold that, I don't want to take that risk that something's going to clog up. Like, I want to know that every year or two. So I feel really great about that as like a good recurring service that can get us through lean times as companies.
Yeah. And I think, like you had said, getting us through the lean times, especially even during the winter months, right? You know, that's where you can sell the sewer scoping, because people are going to be having parties, right? They're going to be having the holiday parties, Thanksgiving, Christmas. So, so I think that's one of the things that, even if the inspections slow down, you still have that service that's part of your company that you can still provide to people. And the thing of it is, there's no conflict of interest, because we're not going in there saying, hey, you might want to get this repaired. This is going to cost you X amount of dollars to get it repaired. We're just going out there, we're calling out a condition, right? We're showing them in a video, and, you know, there's no strings attached, right? And if there is a problem, you know, obviously we tell them to get a plumber in here to kind of take a look at it and get an idea what it's going to cost to fix it. So,
yeah, it's just very real and transparent, which I'm a huge fan of. And it's one of those proactive things. Like, obviously people cannot change their furnace filters. Like, the consequences of that maybe aren't as bad, or you don't flush your water heater out. It's like, yeah, long enough, something bad can happen with that. But like, scopes and the, like you said, the colonoscopy of your house, the consequences are very real. So I like that. Curious on, speaking of lean times, you mentioned this market pullback with interest rates going from virtually zero to, you know, 5% in a span of like 6 months being the worst you've seen. That was kind of surprising to hear, because I worked in finance during the housing crisis in, you know, 2009, 2010. You've seen probably the bubble before that. Talk to me about why this one was worse, or the worst.
So back in 2007, 2008, I remember my brother and I were looking at another property we were going to purchase. And being in the arena that I was in doing inspections, I started seeing it a shift back in 2007. I didn't know what was going on. I don't think really anyone did, unless people were in the market. Even the people that were in the market didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, if right? You watch the movie The Big Short, it's like no, they didn't even know.
They didn't even know. I mean, maybe one or two guys had a good idea what was going to happen. But, you know, with all this stuff that was going on, I think when I started seeing it in 2007 and then it happened in 2008, there may have been a month or two where we were super slow. But what started happening, especially coming out of 2007 and 8, when the market took a dump in the real estate arena, you had homes that were foreclosed, right? So then you had investors buying these properties, we'll just say pennies on a dollar. They still needed someone to go in there and inspect them. So what I was doing, even though it was a foreclosure, they just wanted to have an idea of what they were getting themselves into.
Right.
The other thing was, is I was started reaching out to banks that had these properties. They didn't have enough people out there to go to make sure that these properties were secured. So then there was a revenue there. Now, I wasn't making a killing on it like I would do on an inspection, but the reoccurring revenue on that and the multiple properties that I had, I remember calling a guy once. I can't remember the name of the bank. I'm not going to, even if I did, I wouldn't do it justice to say who they were, but I called him and I said, I can't get into the basement because the water has reached the second level of the stairs. It's like a swimming pool. And he had said to me, why don't you come take a look at my office right now and see the stacks of files I have on my desk? He goes, I don't even know what to tell you to do. So he says, just document it, put it in your report, and send it to us. And we can get someone out there when we can. And when I knew that there was a problem, when I was walking on the outside, I could look in the glass block window. I could see water kind of oozing out. And I looked in the glass and like, that doesn't look right. So the first thing I went in, I opened up the basement door to the stairs and I looked down and it was just like, it was unreal. So I had that, right? I had that type of revenue coming in, and it's what kept me afloat. Literally. And then Obama came in and he gave that credit for first time buyers. So then that started help stimulate the market even more. So the revenue for us was always there back then. It wasn't like, oh my God, we're not doing inspections. I picked up the phone and the lenders that I knew, the real estate attorneys I knew, people were actually calling me, you know, when can you get out to the house? When can you take a look at that? So that again was, it kept me afloat. Now you transition to 2023. We have interest rates that were terrible, even though historically they weren't that high, but coming off of 2.5 to 3%, what some people's mortgages were, you know, on percentage rates, to now going up to 8%, that made a huge difference.
Yeah.
And now not having the inventory out there. So who would want to sell their house if they were locked in to 3, 3.5 to even some, my brother, he's got like a 2.5% rate. He's like, and he's in his house, he's a, you know, by himself, but he's like, I'm not selling this. He's like, I mean, yeah, I'm living in a big house, but right now he's like, I can't justify moving from here to there, paying that rate. His house is pretty much paid off for. And, you know, he says, so it doesn't make sense for him to move. So how do you convince someone to move at a lower rate to purchase a house? Now, unless the people had to move, relocated to here to Chicago from a different state, I get that, right? But no, there was no incentive. And without the incentive and without that being part of what the market was reflecting, crappy rate, lack of inventory, it doesn't provide any work for a home inspector, you know? And then that's why, you know, now having the ancillary services that we do have, right? Most people are staying home in their houses longer. It allows us to maybe offset those hard lean times, and you can start building up a reserve there to, you know, to live, right? By having the additional services to have. But I always tell people that, and even the inspectors that have worked with us, that are working with us, are like, hey, man, when's this going to end? I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, you know, but now things have gotten better. And they've always asked me, which was worse, this year or back in 2007, 2008? And I said, this year by far. So
that's well said. Yeah. And it feels like a slow, orderly, not bleed out. That's probably a little too dramatic or vulgar of a metaphor. But yeah, it's like it's happening in slow motion and it's just slowly drying up. And we're seeing the rates just kind of linger around that like 6 to 7%. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like some of the focus is, hey, let's maximize offering services to the people that want them that we already work with. So we know there's going to be about 4 million homes sold over the next 12 months, right? So like that's one focus. Some are playing the game of let's go capture more agents in a time when others are pulling back, maybe on their sales or marketing. How do you balance the go get a bigger piece of the pie versus, you know what, let's just double down on the work we are getting and maybe drive kind of the revenue up for services people need?
So even in a down market time, I used to work down before I did this, I worked for my cousin down at the Chicago Board of Trade. So the one thing that I was able to gain from that, from being a market maker's assistant, from different, from the equities to trading the commodities, it's you can sit and wait and have things come to you, or you can go out there and get them. And he was always aggressive at the way he traded, and he kept his position neutral when he had to during lean times. But he always would go out and make sure that if there was an opportunity there, to not sit on the fence and not take it. So what we're doing right now is we are going out and aggressively marketing to real estate agents. We are doing in presentations. We're doing lunch and learns. In fact, at 2 o'clock today, I'm heading out to Highland Park with three of my people here. And we're doing it's not a lunch and learn because they've had eight already, but they're allowing us to come in and do a learn. And we're going to be talking about, you know, the services that we have. Tom's going to be talking about the valuation service on the appraisal side. And then we'll talk about source scopes. And it still amazes me that there's some realtors that are out there that still ask questions about source scopes, because even back when I started doing inspections and I met Bill as he was, you know, doing the source scoping with his company, he said it's such a huge cost that can be eliminated from the transaction of a home that you're saving that potential buyer thousands of dollars if there's a problem. And why not do that? So so that's what we kind of share with the real estate industry when we go out there and we do these in-house presentations for the offices. So to answer your question, yeah, we're progressively going out there. We're constantly doing in-house presentations for realtors. The lunch and learns is what we call them. Sometimes we'll do a breakfast one in the morning. Andy has been out there. She does our sales. She's been picking up the phone and she calls and she says, hey, we can do these. And they're very receptive to it, right?
That's great.
Some of them, you know, you could see them and you're looking out in the crowd there and some are dozing off, but
sure.
You know, they have a loud enough voice to maybe wake them up. But yeah, so it does, we're not, you don't want to sit and kind of kick your feet up and say, okay, well, the market's dictating how business is, so we're just going to go with the way the market is. No, can't do that, because you won't survive. So
yeah, and it's a game of mind share that you stay in their minds. So what if rates drop more drastically than they're forecasted to? There's going to be a scramble for finding who's on top of their mind. And that's how agents work. It's like a very much a recency bias to it from what I know. So I love that you're keeping the physical presence there, because that's the hardest thing to do, honestly, is to physically show up and talk to someone and shake their hand. That's the hardest thing to do.
It is. And, you know, we realize that the people in that crowd there, the realtors, they have their own inspector that they feel comfortable working with, and it might be a one or two person shop. I mean, the reality of it is the multi inspection firms that are out there right now, there's really not that many of them if you really look at it. And the one to two guy operations, you know, they're out there, they're plentiful, and we just let them know that, hey, I know you have your go to person, but if by chance they're not available this day, give us a shot. You know, we know you probably go back to your go-to, but if for whatever reason, you know, we're here to help, and we're here to kind of fit into, if you have a problem, you got to get it on that specific day, you know, with the number of people we have here. And we do have a female inspector. We can get this done for you. So
love that. And I think multis should be pressing their advantage in this environment by saying we are available, we have multiple services. That's why you would work with us over maybe your guy that you feel comfortable with. And so just like solos have, you know, their different advantages, mostly multis will probably be watching this. I think it is time to accentuate those advantages of scale.
You know, I agree.
Because you guys worked your ass off to get there. So to say, hey, whether you get, you know, my lead inspector or the ninth person on the roster, like, you're going to get a great experience either way. So what are you looking at this year then? So you're doubling down on agent presentations. I get that. You've got the ancillary services that are ramping up. What else is on your mind in terms of like, all right, we got to execute on this year. I'm always fascinated with kind of like the strategic priorities.
So obviously it's no secret we're going into an election year. So with everything, you know, miraculously things start to change, right? Prices come down. Maybe we'll see a couple of rate drops. I don't know about three, but maybe at least two. That's mm-hmm. just my opinion. I'm sure other people might have a different opinion on that. But, you know, I think as we start to get closer to November, I think, you know, we will see a little bit of a change. So it's just being ready for that, being ready to capture a bigger part of the market share. I think the hard part about our industry are the new guys that come into the industry. Their expectations might be a little bit different, or they may have been told something like you can make X amount of dollars, you know, your first 2 or 3 years. Reality of it is being that sole proprietor is hard now, especially in our arena. And if anything, you know, we're always open to bringing on new people, allowing them to come work with us, do an internship program. We do offer that. We've had people come, we've had people go, and that's obviously their God-given right to try and go at it alone. And I respect them for doing that. I really do. But it's just constantly staying aggressive, looking at the trends that are changing in our industry. Again, the reason we named it Real Inspection Services is because we want to be their consultant for life for the homeowners. And there's other areas that the inspection industry can go in. And you had mentioned something earlier that we've already talked about with our, when we have our meetings, is, you know, being able to provide that home service, whether it's a monthly check to go replace their air filters, clean out their clothes dryer vent, making sure that they're keeping up on the essentials to make sure their house is functioning safely, right? And like you said, sometimes the out of sight, out of mind things. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, even on inspections, where it's just as simple as the homeowner, when they slide the filter in, they put it in backwards. There is an arrow on there that shows them which direction it needs to go, right? Or you pull out the filter and you're pulling on it and realizing it's getting stuck because it's just filled with dust and dirt. You know, the same thing is with clothes dryers. My clothes dryer is working. I haven't had a problem. When was the last time you had the lint cleaned out? I couldn't tell you one, right?
Right.
So it's just something that we're kind of constantly looking at other ways we can provide a service to that homeowner and just being their consultant for life, even after that 3-hour inspection, letting them know that, hey, we're here for you. You know, pick up the phone and give us a call if there's any questions, or you have a contractor that comes out to your house. He tells you you need $20,000 worth of, you know, electrical work. You know, we were out there, call us. You know, we'll be able to say if this guy's full of shit, or maybe it is. Maybe it's something that, you know, yeah, we identified in the report. Don't you remember when we've gone through that? And we've had people call us where we were pulling up the reports and reviewing them, and we'll say, hey, you know, you may have overlooked this, but it's in this section of the report. But here's what we can do. And once you explain it to them that way, they're like, okay, who do you know that can help us with this?
Right.
So, and it's just being able to help them. And that's the key thing.
I think this is what's going to kind of define the future of this, the next 10 years of this industry and beyond, the way you said it, a consultant for life, and just that approach and mentality. There's such a big opportunity for especially multi-inspector firms to step up and embrace that and be that first call. It makes me think like every company should have those fridge magnets with like your number on it to like invite that relationship ongoing, because value will be provided, revenue will be generated from it. And homeowners need this now more than ever. I mean, we all know the demographics on home ownership and how little they know about how to maintain their home. I'm an old millennial, so I can still bag on millennials and say like, they need companies like yours now more than ever. And they are seeking out experts on the home because it's not something millennials and even younger generations want to do. Have you found that same experience?
Oh, the easiest example is someone sending a text message in saying, hey, I need an inspection. My name's Jim. I was referred to by Kevin. It's like, okay, you can't pick up the freaking phone and call me. I can't stand when I get those text messages, but I then know it's a young person on the other end there. And it's just like everyone wants to do things fast. Text messages, emails. I'm old school. And I, being old school, I'm 57, right? So I consider that to me, I don't feel that way, but pick up the phone. And I just can't get over that hurdle. But like you had mentioned, that's it. The communication is boom, boom, boom. I mean, you know, I think along the ways we've become lost. You know, nowadays when you see people walking down the street, they have their earbuds in and, you know, they're not interacting with people. I'm like, hey, how are you? How you doing? You know, and so the same thing is as we've seen and we realize the market, the people that are coming into the market, you know, the younger generation is, it's not that they don't have a clue. It's just like sometimes the information that's provided to them, it's like, yeah, I'll have someone else do that for me. Yeah, I'll take care of, you know, I'll have someone else come and take care of that. So we're just the opposite, right? And I think just going back on being the consultant for life of their home that they're there, you know, and like I said, we've had people that have called us 2 or 3 years. Well, it's funny. A guy called me the other day and he's like, hey, you remember you did that inspection for me 7 years ago? I'm weird because if he gives me the address, I'll remember who that person was. So I'll say, can you give me the address? I can see a picture of the house. I'll say something about the house. He's like, holy shit, that's crazy. So, but yeah, it's getting to what you were saying. It's just kind of staying ahead of everything, especially with the newer generation that's coming into the arena here. So.
Yeah. And I'm smack in the middle, like kind of consider like kind of a sandwich generation where I am old school and I want to shake people's hand and I want to interact with the real world and humans. And I will pick up the phone, but we don't have to like where things are going, but we have to adapt to it. And I think that's my call to action to every company is like, let's make sure the website is buttoned up. Let's make sure you have a response when someone just randomly texts you with poor English of how to send them your online scheduler so they could just quickly book it. Right. And so, we have to enable this next generation to interact with us the way they see fit, because I do think there'll be rewards for companies like yours where they will eventually get it and say, oh, you're my home consultant. Like, I trust you because you know my home better than I do. What do I do with this? Do you know a plumber?
Exactly. And even when we refer someone out, we tell them that they've worked with us for years, that if we give a referral out, I know some inspectors are like, yeah, do it on your own. But if we provide them guidance, we'll tell them, you might want to call someone else. This is who we've used. We trust them. You know, they're in our network right now. But if you don't feel comfortable with even the conversation you had with them on the phone, get another guy or one or two other people. But, you know, we will try and give out two names. But we've vetted them and we know who they are, and they've worked with us, whether they've done work in my house, you know, one of my partner's homes, and just getting the feedback from clients like, hey, the guy came out today. He was on time. He was perfect. You know, he explained things to me. His prices were reasonable. So, you know, that's good feedback for us. And we let them know that it just takes one or two people to have a bad thing. I know sometimes there could be an off day here or there, but if there's a cycle of it, you know, but yeah, knock on wood, we've not had a problem with any of the people that we've referred that are, you know, qualified electrical contractor or a plumber, you name it. You know, we do have a good list of people here. So,
and I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's because of the way you communicate. Because the way you just said that, it sounds like you guys are very transparent about who you're recommending and why. You give them the option to go find others if they're if they don't feel comfortable. And when business providers communicate that well, I think people are less likely to be upset if something goes wrong, or less likely to say, oh, it's your fault, Chuck. Like, I think that's the mental hurdle a lot of inspectors need to get over, is like, just communicate. And that is a liability reducer. It's not out of your control. And that's like what I always get on my soapbox, because some of them are just like, oh, what if that guy like goes to their house and, you know, kidnaps their kid or murders them? It's like, well, you can't live in this world thinking of the worst thing happening all the time. Like, disclaim yourself, communicate, and things will work out if it's someone you trust.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, the reality is, you know, as an inspector, we step on that property. My old mentor told me this years ago, we have a bullseye painted on our back. You know, we are now liable for anything and everything that comes into that home, what we put in the report, right? So what we have to do is make sure that they understand what we're describing to them, what is with the home, what they have with the furnace. You know, does the electrical need some updating? And you said it, transparency. And if they understand this and you tell them that you're going to be there after the 2 to 3 hour inspection or 4 hour inspection that it took to get the report done, to let them know that you're going to be there to help them, I've just found that to just be tremendous. And even when we get done with an inspection, it's the follow-up call. You know, do you have any questions about the report? So, and then, you know, your system is a nice reminder that sends it out to them. And we do have people that will send in a text message, and then that will go to the inspector and they follow up and answer any questions that they have. And that's just been wonderful, because sometimes people like, yeah, I don't know if I want to bother them. They're probably busy, but no, we encourage them, bother us. Because if you don't say something, we're not going to know, you know, so.
And have you found that helpful in building those relationships with homeowners down the road? And,
Tremendously. Yeah, tremendously. And like I said, it's allowed us to have the repeat client in 5 or 6 years, or, you know, it's the family or friend that, hey, you know, Kevin referred you to us. He said you did a great job for him on his home 2 years ago. You know, those are the cool things that we like to hear. And then Jane, she does a great job at putting it in the inspector notes to let the inspectors know. And it's a nice thing.
It makes me think of a stat I just saw of about 45 to 50% of inspector jobs in a survey were gotten from word of mouth. And when I think of what you just said, it beautifully ties in of, you're staying in front of those customers in one way or another. They have a lasting impression of being like, man, the inspector took my call afterwards and explained to me these pipes, this thing that I didn't know about. That makes them more likely to tell their neighbors when they write on next door, hey, does anyone know a good home inspector? And it just ties to that word of mouth so nicely, because you're making that effort to stay in front and not like, hey, hope I see you again in 7 years.
Right. Right. And I just never approached the inspections that way. You know, I just always thought that, you know, I didn't want people to feel that, oh shit, this guy just was here for 3 hours and I'm never going to see him again.
Pulled me
you
a bunch of stuff that was wrong and then bounced. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So that's why I always extended, you know, to just tell them, hey, we're here. Call us. I don't care what it is. Just give us a call. So
I love this mentality, and it's the type of business we want to empower, because having been an agent, having been in this industry for 8 years, I'm just a believer in how you're doing business. And I think it serves the homeowner the best, which makes the agent happy, which makes everyone happy. And so we're just always thinking of next generation tools and enablement to allow you guys to stay in front, to offer more value, because at the end of the day, people are left to kind of figuring it out on their own. And that can lead to all kinds of poor experiences. Like, I would rather our industry own it and say, no, we're going to take the bull by the horns here, because we know there's value to be captured.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know some people are worried about the AI, the artificial intelligence mm-hmm. that's out there. I don't know. I mean, there's always going to be a need for our service. I mean, could you have someone type in, you know, what do I do to replace a water heater? It's going to tell them. I mean, you know, but physically have someone there on the property to show them these things, there's always going to be value, I feel, for us, that we are providing that value-added service for that client.
That's a great point. I think the irony is some inspectors take the approach of, I'm going to do the bare minimum because they think that limits liability. And one, that's just like not even true. You limit liability by providing lots of pictures and communicating more and shaking hands and looking people in the eye. That's another tangent. But the more I think data that home inspectors capture, like serial numbers, makes, models, all these things, puts power in your hands of being the expert, because there's some people that don't even want to go to their basement to go find that information. They might call you or email your office. And that's like them going to you for help, which I think inherently gives you not necessarily power, but like value that you can add. So I agree. Yeah. Like that's how we fight off AI taking over things, is like our industry capturing more value and delivering it consistently to customers. Cause a robot may not do that anytime soon.
Right. Right. It is. And it's the value added service that you're providing to let them know that, you know, this is where your water panel gets replaced for your humidifier, right?
Mm.
The air filter goes on the right side. The arrow faces in, because that's where the air flows, the return side of the furnace. It doesn't go the opposite way. You know, just simple things, you know, even telling them, you know, monthly go around your house and check your ground fault circuit interrupters, pushing the button, see if it resets. You know, if it doesn't, then you know it needs to get replaced. So it's just doing simple things like that. Stick your head up in the attic after a heavy rainstorm. You know, we had a brutal one come here a couple of weeks ago. You know, just go up, put your head up there, see if you see anything. Go in your crawl space. Who wants to go into a crawl space? I'm never a fan of it, you know, and I've been in thousands of them. You know, so I've had creepy crawlers. I've had, you know, run-ins with rats. Who wants to go in there, you know? But you're buying a house that has those things. It's to educate them, to let them know, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do if you do have your furnace in your crawl space. Here's what you need to do to better insulate that area in your crawl space. You know, if the insulation is for shit, so to speak, you know, it's falling down or it was installed the wrong way. Now, people appreciate that, and, you know, physically seeing those things, even being able to put the videos and uploading them into your report system has been a great tool as well. So, I just think that that's something that no one should really fear, just to embrace the technology and being able to utilize it in a smart way.
Yes, exactly. I believe firmly it will lower costs over time for inspection companies, because you may need one less incremental person if you're doing twice the volume, say, to handle general inquiries. There'll be things we can streamline that we'll all leverage in this industry to make you guys more efficient, have higher profit margins. And I think every owner listening is probably in favor of higher profit margins.
Who isn't?
Yeah. One thing people don't talk about enough is the distrust of for AI. And what I mean by that is, if you're just typing in, prompting something, expecting to get the answer or the provider that the machine spits back to you, there's lots of people that won't trust that and will trust Chuck Ryan saying, hey, I've seen this guy's work for 20 years. He lives, you know, down the street. Yeah, I know Bill. Like, you can Google others, you know, go to ChatGPT, do whatever you need to do. But like, AI can never replace seeing your work and then you shaking their hand saying, yeah, if you need someone, he's probably a good option. But as always, research. AI can, I don't think, can ever replace that trust transfer.
Well, that's a key word you're using is trust, right?
Right.
That's trust. I mean, you're relying on algorithms of artificial intelligence gathering that information and then spewing all that information out. I mean, anyone could say, you know, explain a ground fault circuit interrupter to me. But if the average person doesn't know or hasn't even physically seen one or just really understand how they work, they're going to be reading something and they're not going to even understand what they just read, right? So, but yeah, I just embrace it the right way, right? Being able to understand it, not relying on it 100%. I think that's where people get themselves into trouble is they're like, oh, it's got to be okay because it just spit out a paragraph of information to me and I got to trust that because why else would it be on the information highway of things for me to collect? So it's got to be okay. But no, it's not. And you got to be careful with it. And I think, you know, as it progressively, you know, changes over the years, it's just something we have to be vigilant about, just being able to understand that it is a tool, but be able to understand how to use that tool and use it the right way to where it's not going to get you into trouble.
Well said. Well said. I'm going to end on a fairly, maybe potentially controversial statement here. What struck a chord was when you said the average person maybe not even knowing where, say, the GFCI or like what the electrical panel looks like, where to find it, the nuances of it. I could YouTube it. It's still going to be confusing to me because I'm still going to be like, I don't want to mess up something of high consequence. I think electricians, plumbers, HVAC, everyone, you know, across the country says astronomical prices. They could charge whatever they want because they're experts and they know there's only so many of them and that we're all going to call them when we need help, right? What do you think about the concept of inspection companies maybe having an expert on staff? Maybe that's a licensed electrician or a licensed, you know, HVAC technician, to where some of those even just checkups can happen from the inspection company. Because one, we need more experts in all of these fields. I think that's known. But it could also save people money if they don't maybe have to get, I don't want to say ripped off, because I think people should all charge what they want. But
sure,
inspection companies broadening out that skill set and expertise, it sounds like a good thing. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or if that's just like too broad.
No, I think that's something that a company can utilize to their benefit, because the first guy we brought in for helping us with the sewer scope, he's a plumber, mm-hmm. right? So having that right person in there to kind of educate and coach how we're doing a sewer scope, right? When we first started rolling out with these, having an electrician, I met a guy who lives across the Mississippi. He's on the Iowa side. He's an electrician. So having him a part of us where I can pick up the phone and call him saying, hey man, this doesn't look right to me. You know, what's your opinion on this? And just to get that professional opinion of someone that may have seen this one thing that 1,000 times and I'm seeing it for the first time, or any of my other people are out there doing the inspection or seeing it for the first time. Yeah, man, there's value in that. I think having someone there in-house that has that expertise to where I could see 1,000 multiple taps in an electrical panel box. There might be that one condition in that electrical panel box that I've never seen before. And it's like, holy smokes, I've done thousands of these. What am I looking at here? Just to have that person to have to get their opinion on that. No, I agree with you. I think there's a lot of value in that. And here's the other thing. You know, one of the things that I've seen over the years are the trades from the electrician, the plumbers, the HVAC, even contractors. I mean, one of our inspectors, he's a framing contractor, that they see, hey, I want to know a little bit about electrical if he's an HVAC guy and he wants to learn about the trades. And I think they see the value that is with being a home inspector, being kind of like that, you know, a general practitioner as a doctor, knowing about all these different things, but then being able to point to that person saying, you need that electrician to come in here, you need that HVAC contractor to come in here. So, you know, we've seen other trades come into our business because they probably figure, well, I can do this. But then it's like, holy smokes, and you realize how much information there is out there for us to know this stuff. But yeah, I might have gone off tangent with that, but you got me a little excited by saying that because that's, you know, we are thinking of that. And having these in-house people that specialize that are qualified in that arena, I think is a tremendous resource to have for any company.
I love how you described all that. I think it adds massive value. If inspectors are worried about losing power, influence, mind share, whatever it is, whatever the worry of the day is, I think this is how economics get brought back into our industry that maybe leak out when they don't have to. And again, it all anchors back to the client experience. Like you having that lifeline and being able to get the customer an answer, I would attribute that value to you. I'd be like, man, Chuck at Real Inspection Services, like he's the man, like he just found the answer. So now I'm going to want to go to you for more things. That's just how it works.
It is. And you know, the knock at it for me, that I've been doing this long, the knock in our industry, even on some of these chat groups, whether it's on Facebook or what have you, I can't get myself involved in commenting on a guy ripping on another guy who's asking a simple question. And it's like, dude, really, you're doing inspections? It's like, hey, man, you know, you started out that way, you know, at some point in your career. I mean, there's some guys in our industry that the only thing that might separate them from me is the Superman t-shirt that they wear. You know, I'm not Superman. I'm vulnerable enough to know that our industry is not a perfect industry. You know, we do make mistakes. And I think being able to educate people that, you know, this is a visual observation we're doing, right? That there could be some things that might come up. There might be some things that we can't see or identify that could be a problem. You know, it's just such a struggle that I have, especially with some of the older guys and some of the guys that have been in it as long as I have. They think they freaking know everything, and they don't. They don't. That's the reality of it. I mean, I've sat at these meetings. You know, you get the one guy that's always raising his hand, you know, contradicting something that the educated provider who is qualified to present the information there. It's just like, it's okay to have an opinion, but you know, okay, we get it. You know your stuff. Okay, let the other guy, you know, get on with this. But I think the problem, you know, again, in our industry are guys not being able to communicate the information, being a know-it-all. And then that's where you can get yourself into trouble and being arrogant. You know, one of the things I always tell all of our inspectors, it's okay to be humble and it's okay not to know everything. You know, we have people there that can help. And I tell the inspectors, if you don't know something, don't pretend like you know it, because that's going to get you into trouble.
Love that. I love that.
Yeah. We have a team concept here that we use on teams where they can send a picture and someone can get that answer to them right away. Or it's like, hey, never seen this before, but we do have people that I can check this out for you on. I might not have an answer for you right now. I'm going to mark it with a flag, which we love to use in your report for us to get back at it, but we will have an answer for you on this condition that we're seeing. So
The irony is, as a agent and multiple home buyer, I trust that inspector 10 times more because I know he's being honest. And when I see someone, what we call peacocking, like the arrogance, it's really just insecurity out and the need to overcompensate. And so I think that's just a good PSA for those that to look within if you find yourself peacocking.
Yeah, look within. Exactly. You know, you started somewhere. So, you know, be humble.
And you guys, and I think we should always shift the narrative of like, you guys are not, the expectation is not that you guys know all the answers, but you are the connector and you will find the best kind of perspective and the best guidance for that homeowner. And like, if you intend that well, you're going to limit liability. They're going to love you. They're going to give you 5-star review. Agents can refer you more. So it's a good place to wrap, man. I could talk to you all day, by the way. We should do a part two. This was awesome. This was so fun.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. That'd be very cool.
I think you dropped a ton of knowledge. You guys are doing amazing things. I'm super privileged to be working with you and be partnering with you. So keep it up and we'll stay in touch.
You guys as well. Thanks, brother.
All right. Appreciate you.
See you, Kevin. Thanks, man.